Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 18, King Yayati regains his youth. Text number 44. Uttamas chintitam koryat prokta kari tu madhyamaha adamo sharaya koryad akarto charitam pitu Uttama, the best. Chintitam, considering the father's idea. Koryat, acts accordingly. Prokta kari, one who acts on the order of the father. To, indeed. Madhyamaha, mediocre. Adama, lower class. Asharaya, without any faith. Koryat, acts. Akarta, unwilling to do. Ucharitam, like stool. Pitu, of the Father. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A son who acts by anticipating what his father wants him to do is first class. One who acts upon receiving his father's order is second class. And one who executes his father's order irrelevantly is third class. But a son who refuses his father's order is like the father's stool. Purport. Puru, Yayati's last son, immediately accepted his father's proposal. For although he was the youngest, he was very qualified. Puru thought, I should have accepted my father's proposal before he asked, but I did not. Therefore, I am not first-class son, I am a second-class son. But I do not wish to become the lowest type of son, who is compared to his father's stool. One Indian poet has spoken of putra and mutra. Putra means son, and mutra means urine. Both a son and urine come from the same genitals. If a son is an obedient devotee of the Lord, he is called putra, or real son. Otherwise, he is not learned and is not a devotee. A son is nothing better than urine. So the translation again, a son who acts by anticipating his father, what his father wants him to do is first class. One who acts upon receiving his father's order is second class. And one who executes his father's order irrelevantly is third class. But a son who refuses his father's order is like his father's stool. Krishna Sruphoi Rivera Nitya Krishna Das. Divas Driveras Rupahoi Krishnara Nitya Das. That everyone is servant eternally. The only question is who we're going to serve. In the material concepts of life, we serve our senses or in things in relationship to the senses. And in the spiritual concept of life, we serve Krishna. It's a question of developing a service attitude towards Krishna, because we already have a service attitude. It's just not being directed towards Krishna, that's all. Or it has to be dovetailed with Krishna. Now, Krishna is in everyone's heart, and because he's in everyone's heart, our real goal is to find out what Krishna wants us to do. Now, a first-class devotee, he can speak to Krishna directly. Or he knows, even without Krishna telling him, he knows in every way what Krishna wants. But at least Krishna says Krishna is in the heart, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, and he gives intelligence. Or he speaks to the devotee directly, so that the devotee knows exactly what Krishna wants. Now, externally, Krishna also has ideas what the soul should do. And therefore, if Krishna is speaking internally to the devotee, then the devotee knows naturally what to do externally too. Therefore, first-class servant of Krishna automatically becomes a first-class servant of everyone else also. Second-class servant of Krishna has to learn externally what Krishna wants. And then, if he's second-class, he executes it. But he's not so much intimately connected with Krishna as the first-class devotee of Krishna. The third class, he knows, he finds out what Krishna wants, but he doesn't do it very enthusiastically. And the last class doesn't know what Krishna wants. He just does whatever he wants, whatever his mind and senses dictate to him. So, sometimes we can try to become a first-class devotee. That may not be so possible all the time. We could try to anticipate what Krishna wants us to do, and that we can judge by, for instance, looking at people. If we learn how to read people's faces, then we can understand what they're thinking. For instance, on book distribution, that's one of the things you have to learn, is how to read people's faces. You go on book distribution, and you don't look at people's faces, you don't find out how your words are affecting them or how you're affecting them. If they're looking at you like they're about to eat you, and you're thinking that they're going to take a book, you might be incorrect. They might eat you. Of course, they might leave a donation for the book afterwards for a good meal. That people display their minds through their faces, and therefore even on the spiritual platform, just like in the book called Vilapa Kushamanjali, that Raghunath Das Goswami in his eternal form as Rati Manjari, sometimes in her service to Krishna, she sees Srimati Radharani internally in her pastimes with Krishna just by reading her face and all the transformations that she goes through. She can understand. So the idea is that we should try to become a little bit aware of what the circumstances are and what people are feeling, with the idea of trying to serve them in the best possible way. Of course, if we don't care about serving anyone, we couldn't care less about what they're thinking. All we're caring about is what we're thinking, what my mind and senses are demanding, rather than serving others in the service of Krishna. So, the idea is we want to become intimately connected with Krishna. We also have to become intimately connected with his desires of what he wants us to do in service. And for that, we have to become attentive. Attentive doesn't mean just to try to be awake. Attentive means to actually become sensitive to what's actually going on and what people's desires are and what Krishna's desires are that to fulfill. The more we become attentive like that, then the more we become Krishna conscious. Of course, if that's not understandable, then at least we should try to become second class. Try to find out through with our intelligence, by humble investigation, what Krishna wants us to do, and then try to do that with some determination and enthusiasm. And not as good as that is third class, acting irrelevantly without any real enthusiasm, more or less out of some sense of duty, but not really any kind of higher consciousness. That's better than the last class, where you just don't do any what you're supposed to do. We just do whatever our mind and senses. The last class leads to a very unfortunate position. Third class, we can hang on for some time, and hopefully by good association, we try at least to come to the second class of obedience enthusiastic obedience, that takes some awareness of how it's in our interest, at least, that if we perform service to Krishna with some enthusiasm, then we become enthusiastic, and that's our benefit. After all, what more can we want? If you gain $1 billion and you're morose, what have you gained? And if you gain, someone gives you a lollipop and you're enthusiastic about it, then you enjoy the lollipop and you enjoy your enthusiasm. So Prabhupada said in one lecture, if you're feeling morose, it's a sign of lack of Krishna consciousness. It's not a sign that I'm justified for feeling morose because everyone else is, I'm a victim. Therefore, I have a good reason to feel morose, and everyone else should suffer because I'm morose. No, we're the ones who suffer. On the other hand, if one is enthusiastic under any circumstance, which is part of our philosophy, one who's situated in Krishna consciousness internally in any circumstance, mamtayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate, one who's mamtayo vyabhicharena, who's always engaged in devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once comes to the level of, once transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. So no matter what our mind is going through, no matter what our senses are going through, if we're not feeling enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, then we should simply try to ignore our material consciousness and try to be a little enthusiastic, try to be positive, try to see things in Krishna consciousness and realize any moment that I'm not enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, if I'm feeling morose, then the only one who's going to suffer is me. That I'm not using my time properly. Of course, if we have genuine problems, like a nail is sticking through our foot, we should try to take it out. Not that I should be, there's a nail sticking through my foot, so therefore I should be enthusiastic about it. Maybe I should put another one on the other foot to make it match. No, we should try to be reasonable. But if we actually transcend the modes of material nature, even these things won't disturb us. We do what's necessary. Just like a car may not work, it may stop functioning, but we don't fall in the street screaming, "My car is dead." No, we do what's necessary to fix it. We take it to the mechanic, find out what's wrong, replace the missing part, and try to get it working again. And if it stops working, then we'll get another car. But we don't fall down on our car screaming, "Oh, my car, it doesn't work. The end of the world is coming." No, eventually the car won't work. It's how the material nature works. And in the meantime, we should take care of it, and at the same time try to have a sense of Krishna consciousness. Try to understand that everything is ultimately beneficial for us. If we have great opportunities, as Krishna says, dukeshu vamanagmanaksa keshu vigatas viha vita raga vaya krodha stitidir muni uchite, one who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, and is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as a sage of steady mind. So one should understand, if we're going through some difficulty, which we're all going through, no one in the material world, including Brahma, is completely free from difficulty. After all, Brahma, we can't imagine how much happiness he's experiencing sitting on top of that lotus flower. Imagine how nice his lotus flower smells like. Transcendental, came out of the abdomen of Lord Vishnu. It must smell quite nicely. On the other hand, he has to die. He has to leave his body. He has to leave his planet. He has to leave everything behind. And he can't be 100% sure where he's going unless he's a completely pure devotee of Krishna, and therefore is beyond identification as Lord Brahma, he's already situated in his spiritual identity. In any case, even Brahma is experiencing difficulty, and yet he goes on with his devotional service. So one should understand that we're just getting a pinprick when we get an uncomfortable position rather than the electric chair, which we actually deserve. On the other hand, if we're placed in a relatively comfortable position, we should try to utilize that favorable condition so we can do more determined, enthusiastic service. And that way we become vikatasprīha, we become free from lethargy and passion. And remain fixed in Krishna consciousness, sthita prajñāsya ucchate. Our intelligence becomes fixed on Krishna, and we become eligible to transcend the modes of material nature, at least for that time. So we should try to see things properly. It is not that it is very complicated. We are eternal. Even if we forget it, we don't become material once we forget it. I don't merge into my body when I forget I'm eternal. I'm eternally eternal. So since we're eternally eternal, we might as well live on the eternal platform, because then we'll actually become at least peaceful. Otherwise, when we live on the material platform, how is it possible to be peaceful? Because this material world is not meant to be a peaceful place. Krishna never created it so the souls can come here and have a peaceful time. No one in the material world is possible to be peaceful. And if we're not peaceful, according to Bhagavad Gita, how can we be happy? If you're given fabulous prasadam, just exactly what you want that day, but tomorrow, the next day, your head's going to be cut off. Probably you'll lose our appetite. We'll have to imagine that it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But still we'll be in anxiety. So similarly, we're always in anxiety because we don't know when we're going to have to leave this body. So we may try to forget in different ways, but ultimately it's always in the back of my mind. What is the value of this activity? Is it going to save me from leaving this body, from death? But it won't. There's no material activity that can save this body because it's changing at every moment. It's not that we might die. The body's already dead. We're attached to a dead body. Sorry for the bad news. But we love this dead body, whatever it is. It's always changing. We're so attached to this body that in spite of whatever change it goes through, we still love it anyhow. Although our little baby body that we are so attached to, where is it now? We couldn't even bury it because it just vanished. It disappeared. It's like someone takes one of these weapons that are made out of fire, I forget what they call these weapons made out of fire, that shoots that fire and burns the people to death. Imagine you had someone burnt your body to death and it disappeared. Okay, don't matter. So your body's not there anymore. What can you do? It disappeared. You can't love it anymore because it's not there anymore. So our love is constantly being renewed at every moment because we're nature. We're always, as in the spiritual world, everything is ever fresh and new. So our love for this body is always being revived at every moment, fresh and new. In spite of the fact that we have a different body at every moment, still, we're always reviving our love for this body, the new body we get. So that shows we're spiritual. It's a symptom of the spirit. His love is ever fresh. So, that's all right. We have to take care of the body. There has to be some affection for the body and things in relation to the body. We have some duty towards it. And so there's some inspiration to take care of it. But the background should be I'm taking care of the body because it's Krishna's body, and that's why I'm attracted to it, and therefore let me utilize it to become Krishna conscious. Let me utilize it in service to others so that Krishna will be pleased with me. Let me serve others, as I'm going to do anyhow, in such a way is that Krishna was pleased by my service. Let me serve others so that they become Krishna conscious. I assist them in their endeavor to become Krishna conscious. That way, our reluctance to become a servant outside of our own selfish conceptions of what service means will gradually be diminished. And we'll actually see that our real interest in being a servant is to serve Krishna and everyone else in relationship to Krishna. Everything and everything else in relationship to Krishna. And the result is that we'll get the supreme reward of Krishna. And we'll also, as we become conscious of Krishna, we'll become more and more sensitive of how to become a better servant, or more loving servant. Not just a servant who does things because they have to do it, who does it for their own personal benefit, but simply out of love. And then love is the highest happiness that one can experience. And if we experience love, then we'll get to have the highest happiness. But we have to be willing to develop love. Love for Krishna and love for everyone else. And then we can experience the highest happiness. Otherwise, we'll be stuck on some material platform trying to be happy on something less than spiritual happiness, which is not possible. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How to convince devotees to go out during this Prabhupada marathon?
Don't give them any prasadam if they don't go out. That's very convincing. How to convince them? Well, be enthusiastic. How else are you going to, if you're going to be in charge and try to convince, be enthusiastic. That's the best thing you can do. Not, hey, you got to go out or else you're going to starve. Oh, no, please. I'm hungry. I'm tired. You got to go out. There's no other way. Do you want to sleep tonight? You want heat in your room? Go. Get out of here. Go out and spread love of God. Or else you're done. You're finished. No, if we're enthusiastic, you know, how wonderful. If we're actually experiencing happiness from the service, then actually others will be attracted to experience some happiness also in that service as a great opportunity. Even if we're not ecstatically feeling ecstasy from that service, at least we should intellectually try to convey the desirability and then leave it up to Yatechasita Guru. To a certain extent, devotees have to voluntarily do their service. Otherwise, it won't be very good service. At least, even if they don't do it, they do it reluctantly, or still it's better than being forced to do it. Go out. No. Ah, no. Go out. No. No. Okay. Stop. Oh, you broke my arm. I can't go out. Sorry. Anything else?
I'll also try to go on marathon. So these days when I'm going out, I'm just trying to make my body ready because it's so cold. And from past 1 week, I'm going on every day I go, but it's just so cold for me, like Indian body.
What's that?
My Indian body is just not able to, like, I think, adjust to the cold weather outside. Oh, but I want to go.
I've been in Delhi in the winter.
Yeah, it's not like this.
No.
Oh, it's definitely not like this.
Well, I've been in Delhi in the winter too.
Do you think it was like
Oh yeah, there was no heat in the building sometimes. Very little heat. So there was no relief from the cold. But here you can put on extra clothing.
Yeah, I think in the premises it's okay, but when you go outside the premises, it's just very extremely cold. It's like even if you, even a little bit of your skin is, you know, exposed, it's like this.
Maybe you probably get used to it.
No.
As long as you don't think, oh, my skin, it's cold, it's cold. What's the excuse me, what do you have in your hand? No, my skin, it's cold.
No, yeah.
I mean, it takes some time to get you. Sometimes it's, I mean, I've been on marathons in England where I just had a thin coat on and the wind just went through your coat. It was so cold, it was incredible. I mean, that was practically intolerable. But I've been in like minus 30 degrees doing the marathon outside in a Santa Claus uniform. And, you know, even that sometimes is tolerable.
Yesterday I went just for a walk and, you know, just because I want to sort of make my body a little bit ready for it, you know. And at one point, although I had all the warm clothes, and then at one point I was literally shivering. I was just standing like this. And I actually wanted to call them and say, can you come and pick me up?
I'll try to get used to it. It's usually the mind has to get used to it. But if you're just going out trying to get your body used to it, your body may not appreciate that. You don't love, you know, what are you doing? But if you go out and you actually distribute some books or two, and then you get enthusiastic, then once you distribute the books, then you don't want to come back.
I think I'll be all right.
Anything else? Kala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Kidai.